Hi developers, I'm Hossam Dillahi, Microsoft MVP. In this video, we'll learn how to use OAuth 2 implementation with ASP.NET Web API applications. The goal here is to use authentication and authorization in order to access protected web services. Protected web services are those web services that have the authorized attribute at the top of their naming methods on the API controller. I start with Visual Studio. I'll go and create a new ASP.NET application by going to File, New Project. Then from here I select Web, then choose ASP.NET Web Application using the .NET framework. I call my application Cheap Ideas, hit OK. Then here I have some templates that I can use, and here I'll use the Web API project because here I want to add a mobile application that consumes this web API. Then I'll go and change the authentication to use the individual user accounts, which will enable OAuth 2 authentication and authorization within my web API application. Hit OK, then create the project. Once the application is created, we'll go directly and execute it by clicking F5. And here it is, our application. This application contains some controllers. Here we do have the values controller, which have access to certain resources. Right here it will return a list of value 1 and value 2. And we can access this web service through this route right here. So I copy this and try to use it with from within right here, Microsoft Edge. And here it tells me that I cannot access this web service because authorization has been denied for this request. Why is that? That's because right here this controller have this authorize attribute, and that means that every method or every web service in this controller should be accessed in an authorized way, so that the user should be authorized in order to access these web services. So let's create an authorized request. And to do that, we need first to create a user. So how can we create a user in our application? If we did have an MVC application, then we will have a link at the top right of the web page that says sign in or sign up. Then we fill that form with our login and password, and then we create the user session. But here from a web API, we do have an account controller, and the account controller is the controller that is responsible for creating users, updating users, setting passwords, and everything related to managing the users inside your application. It's an API controller which have a method called register. So let's look for that method. And here it is, this one. So the register method will be invoked whenever we want to create a new user in this application. So what we do is that we create an entity of type register binding model, and this one contains the information about the new user, like his email, his password, and a confirmation for his typed password. We take this model, then we create an application user inside our application, and application user is the type of the entity that is stored inside the database related to my users. Then we'll try to use the user manager, which is of type application user manager, and you can look at this as the manager for my database for users. So it can create, retrieve, or delete my users from the database. It's like the context. We call create async and pass the user in order to create a new user in the database. If that succeeded, then we'll return OK. otherwise we'll return that we have an error when storing the user. So let's try to invoke this method in order to create a new user for our application. So let's put a breakpoint right here so that I can make sure that this one is invoked. And I go back and use Postman right here. And Postman is an extension that you can use with Google Chrome, or you can install it independently. And we'll use Postman to create HTTP requests. So here we want to invoke the web service for this register method. So it's under the route register, and we can access it via a post HTTP request by invoking the current route. So let's first run our application, then use this application URI. Let's copy that one and use it with Postman. So within Postman here, the first parameter I specify is the HTTP verb, and here I want to have a post one. Then copy that application URL, and to go to the register method, I need to go to the API/account/register. So let's copy that one and use it. With those, we do need to specify the register binding model, the model that contains the information about the registered or about the new user. And this is of type register binding model, which have the three attributes as we saw: the email, password, and confirm password. So let's create a JSON object that have those information. I'll create that JSON object inside the body of my HTTP request. So I'll go and specify that I want to, it's of type row, and it's a JSON. So I can come here to the text attribute and specify that it's an application/JSON. Let's create now our attribute, which contains the three information about the email and also the password, and third one, confirm password. So let's have a valid email, a valid password. Here you see that this password should have alphabets and special characters, because in the application and the code generated, and somehow and somewhere we have inside the startup auth, we have all the requirements to accept a password. Or actually it is in the identity config. So here it is. To validate a password, the password should have at least 6 characters, and it require non-letter or digit that's true, and it should have a digit and a lowercase and also an uppercase. So it should have a combination of all of those restrictions. And my password here respects those. Now I'm ready to send this request to my register method, and here it is. Now it comes to this register method, and right from here I can see the model, and I can see the data that I already passed in the request. Let's now put a breakpoint and the OK so that we make sure that it's added successfully to the database. Yeah, good. So it returns 200 OK. That means that this user is now created and is stored inside the database. So let's verify that, and we can see the content of the database by going to view, then go to SQL Server Object Explorer, which help us to view the data or the entities inside our database. I'll go and refresh right here to see the content, or to see my new database. So here I call it ASP.NET Cheap Ideas.web. or this one actually. Let's look at the tables. Here we have the tables for ASP.NET users. We do have also tables for defining the roles, the logins, the claims, and so on. So let's see if that user was added successfully. So here we see that we do have a user with email that we have specified and with an ID. And here also you have the username for that password, and also we do have the password. But the password here is not that password that we have typed, but it's a password hash. So it's been transformed into a hash, so that not anyone can see the real password for the user. For the ID also it is generated, so it's, as we know in Entity Framework, it normally it starts with the first ID is 1, but here it's a long ID. So it's have been generated by ASP.NET identity. Great, so now we have a user in our system. Now, how can we access our values controller? So now we'll start authenticating the user. Now the user is just created, but in order to give him access or to enable him to access the secured resources, he need to get an access token. And the way to get an access token is by sending a request specified to get the access token. Let's see how to do that. I'll go again to Postman, create a new request, and let's use the same URL for our application. Let's copy this and paste it right here. Then with OAuth, we have a URL like OAuth/token or token, and we can see that this URL in ASP.NET inside the startup.auth. Where here we do have the OAuth options specified, telling me that the token endpoint path is /token. So let's copy that and use it from this app. So this should be a post verb. So after that, I'll go to body, and from here I specify the username and password for my user. And those should be of type form URL encoded, so I should specify this one. The username and password, those are the values that should be specified. So let's take the username from the previously created method, copy, paste it here, and take also the same password, copy it, and use it here. And now let's send this post HTTP request. And here we expect to get the access token, but we are getting 400 bad requests saying that this is an unsupported grant type because we didn't even specify a grant type. So we need to specify that a parameter inside the headers with the username and password. And this is, should be named grant type. Because we want to get a token, the value of the grant type should be passed as password. Let's send our send, and here it is. Now we get our access token from the web API server, and the access token comes with its value, but also with token type saying this is a bearer and expires n. This is the number of seconds in which my access token will not be valid after this specified time. That time is Monday, 15 May 2017. And we also have the date of issuing this token. And here the expiration could be changed inside the application. We're here in Visual Studio. If we go right here and inside the OAuth options, we do have a value called access token expire time span. And here we are saying that our token should expire within 14 days. Of course, we can change this value depending on the usage of our application. So because it's 14 days, we see that here the expiration is exactly 14 days after the creation of the token. Great. Now this token will need it to authenticate our user to so that he could access the non-authorized API. So let's copy this one. And now let's go and create another HTTP request in order to reach the values controller, this one here. So I'll go and use that URL, paste it, and also use the application URL, copy, paste it here. Good. So this should be a GET request. And it should be authenticated. For that, right here, we go to the headers. And within the headers, we specify that this uses authorization. We'll add that attribute. And within authorization, we put the type of our access token, which is type right here, bearer, because here it's specified as bearer. So we'll paste bearer, then we add a space. After that space, we go and paste our access token, the value of the access token. Great. Now we send the request, and let's add a breakpoint right here to make sure it's sent, and hit send. Now here it is, our request has been authenticated through the authorize attribute, and now we can access the GET or this web service. Great, and here we have the value 1 and value 2. So this way we can access or we can restrict access to certain web services by forcing the user to be authorized in our system. Now this is the simplest mode controller we have accessed, but now let's create our own data and our own web services and apply authorization on top of them. So let's create a new model. For that, I'll go to the models controller and let's create our application for adding and managing ideas. So let's add a class, let's call it idea. An idea is a public class that have properties like the ID, which is of type integer. So let's call it ID, and it have another property of type string. This one will be the title of my idea, and another property which will give me more details or a description about my idea. Then another property to tell what is the category of my idea. Let's call it category. Then I'll add another property which will tell me to whom this idea belongs to which user this idea belongs to. Let's make it of type string, and let's tell this one belongs to the user. Here I can use the application user in my system, and the application user is the one that does authentication, but I don't want to reference that. I want my data to be independent from my database where I store my my users, because we think always for separating the actual data and the security or the authorization data for my application. So here I'll go and reference the user ID instead of referencing the user. It's of type string, because my user ID is a string, not an integer, as we saw the value right here. Great. So now we know to which one belongs this idea. Good, let's save that. And let's do then a build solution, because now we'll go and add a controller. Once we have done that, we'll go and right click the controllers folder, add a new controller, and right here choose web API to controller with actions using entity framework. The module we want to use is our idea. Then here again we can use the application DB context, but this context is created by default by the ASP.NET template to manage the users. Here we'll go and create another context in order again to separate the users context from our data context. So let's create another context and let's call it ideas context. Hit add and then hit add. That adds the ideas controller in my application, which here have all the accrued operations for getting, putting, post, and delete ideas from my database system. Let's try and run this application and test these web services. Let's try at first to get all the ideas from my database. For that, I'll go to Postman, create a new request of type get, then use the URL of my application, this same one, and access the web service that gives me the list of all my ideas, which is inside here the API/ideas. Copy and paste it here, and then actually let's add a breakpoint to make sure it hit that method, then hit send. And here we get to that method, hit continue, and now it returns 200. Okay, it was executed successfully, and here we do not have any data in our database because we didn't added data yet. So let's try and add some data to the database. For that, I'm going to create a new HTTP request by creating a new tab right here and use that same URI, because here creating a new idea or posting a new idea requires us to execute this web service. And in order to get to this web service, I need to run a post request to the API/ideas. Then we need to, or it should be post, of course. And then inside the body, we pass this idea that will be recognized inside the method post idea as a parameter. So let's create that idea. It should be specified as a row of type application/json. And an idea, as we have created that model, it should have a title. Then should have a description, then a category. Let's call this one idea A and description for idea A and category A, for example. Great, let's send that request. We do have a breakpoint already, send it. Let's make sure the values was passed successfully. Great, hit continue. And now we get 201 created. So this record was added successfully to our database. Let's add a second one. Let's call it idea B. And this is description for idea B, and it belongs to category B. Let's send again the request. It's here. Great. Now, if I go back and retrieve the ideas from my database, it returns those two ideas for me. So now I can access my all the ideas stored inside the database without authentication or without authorization. Now let's add authorization to our web services. To do that, we go to Visual Studio, and right from here we can specify that all the web services within this web controller should be accessed with the access token by specifying the authorize attribute, or we can also specify the authorize attribute in every or in each method that I want it to be authorized. And by specifying authorize attribute inside the on top of the controller, we say that all the methods, or we say that the authorize will be applied to all the methods. But we can do that individually for each method by specifying authorize. We'll go and specify that for all those methods. So let's just copy it. And also for the put idea and the post, and of course for my delete method. So let's test it. For that, I'll go to Postman and create, or actually let's try now to execute this method again after adding the authorize attribute. Hit send, and now it tells me that we have 401 unauthorized. I don't have permission to access that web service. So let's add authorization for our HTTP request headers. For that, I go to headers, and here specify the authorization header with the value bearer, and use the bearer that we have get earlier right here. The access token, copy it and use it in this HTTP request and call it here. Now let's send again our request, and now I can access this secure method to get all my all the ideas inside my system. We didn't register the user who have created this idea, and you see as a result, when we get all the ideas, the user ID is null, so we don't know which user created or posted that idea. So let's try and register the or change the value of the user ID whenever a new idea is added to our system. So here we can do that from the client application, or we can also do that within the web API to make things simpler. So within the web API, right here, let's go to the post. Here we'll get the idea with the user ID equal null. So we can get that, or we can change that user ID to give it to user ID. But how can we retrieve that user ID from a web API right here? So it's simple. We need to access the entity or the attribute called user. Here it's available in the API controller, and within the user we do have property identity, which will tell us about the name and the username and the ID of the user. Here we want to get the user ID. So here this entity comes with API controller out of the box, and it can recognize the user who is executing this web service, because here we do have authorized, so it's sure that we do have a certain user, and to retrieve that user we can use user.identity to get it. So we get that user ID, then we pass it to our idea, so that in every idea will have a reference to the user ID who have created that idea. Great, now let's run this up, and Now let's try to add another idea and see if it will have the user ID of the current user. I'll go to postman and go where we have the post method and add another method. Let's call it idea C. This is the description for idea C and it belongs to category C. Send the request. Oops, authorization has been denied for this request. Okay, we didn't specify the headers. Okay, because now it's with the authorize attribute, so we need here to specify an authentication inside the headers of our HTTP request. So let's specify the bearer and again use that access token. Copy the access token and use it inside the authorization header. Now we send our request and the request reaches here. We have our idea with user ID is null. Then I'll put a breakpoint right here to make sure that we do retrieve the user ID and we affect it to the idea. So here it is, the user ID of the current user as we see it here, which is the same value as the user ID stored inside the ASP.NET users DB. So it's the exact same value right here. Great, now let's continue executing to register the idea with the user ID. Here we can see that a user ID is assigned to the idea that we have created. Let's try to add another idea. Let's say this one is idea D, description for idea D, and this belongs to category D. Send it, continue, and then we get that same user ID assigned for both ideas. Now, what if I want to only get my ideas, the ideas that I have created? I don't want to get all the ideas from the database. So to do that, here we can filter, or we can create a filter based on the user ID. So the way to do that, I'd go and select db.ideas.where. And for every idea, I look for the idea that have the user ID equal to the user ID or to the authenticated user ID. And that user ID is the same one of type string user ID. We retrieved it before through the user.identity.get. User ID should be equal, of course. Great. Now let's execute it. And let's see if now we can get the ideas posted only by the current user. For that, I go to postman and go again to the get method. And right here, now for now we have four ideas. And if I set send, continue, I only get the ideas created by the current user. So the other two ideas will not be returned in this method. Now, what if I want to have both functionality, getting all the ideas inside the system and getting the ideas specified to a certain user? For that, I'll add a new web service, which will be responsible for getting only the ideas for the current user. So let's call it get ideas for current user. And for the old one, let's just remove this where to return all the ideas. But for this one, we'll return only the ideas for the current user. And here to invoke this to web services, they uses the same verb and the same URI. For that, we need to change this one. Let's say that the first one will use, for example, API slash ideas slash for current user. And to enable that, we need to specify a route for this web service. So let's say it should be under API slash ideas, the name of our controller, slash then the API slash ideas slash for current user. Great, and now let's test this out. So let's test it. I'll send this one to get all the ideas in my system. So it returns the four ideas, but if I go and specify that I want to the ideas for the current user only, then I get the only two ideas right here. The other web services inside this controller are web services for putting data, and this one enable all the authorized users to change any idea created by some other users, and we don't want to do that. We want that the only users who could access and change their posted idea are the users who have created those ideas. For that, we'll go and inhibit other users to change the ideas that doesn't belong to them. And the way to do that right here is going before changing the idea, and after verifying the model, we'll go and say if the user ID of the current user is the same as the user ID specified inside the user idea of the idea, or if it's different, then we'll go and inhibit changing that idea. And of course, the user ID here is that same exact value we get it before, user dot identity dot get user ID. So if those two values are different, then we'll go and return, and what we'll return right here, we'll go and return status code saying bad request, or saying we have a conflict. Here we do have lots of HTTP variables. We go and use conflict, because this is not your idea, so you are not allowed to change it. Good. Let's try to verify if that works successfully. So let's execute it. Then we go to Postman, and right from Postman, we'll go and create another HTTP request that uses the post. Then copy this ID, or uses a put actually, and copy this one here. And to get to a put, we should specify the ID for that idea in here in the URL. So here in our data, we do have four ideas. Actually, we do have four ideas. Let's say I want to change the first idea with ID equal, let's say equal one, for example, and that one doesn't belong to the current user. It have no user. Remember, the user ID was equal null. So let's say one, and put, and then we should specify that idea we want to change, and let's put it inside the header as a row of type application slash JSON. Then let's take some idea right here and paste it here as it is the idea number one. So let's add the ID for that idea. Let's say this is number one, because we should specify that ID, because here and the put it is making a verification between the ID and the ID that we pass in the URL. So it should be the same one. So here I specify one, and also here I specify one. Good. Now let's try to change this. But also we need to access, because here we are accessing the idea.userid, so we need to specify the value for that user ID. And the value for that user ID, let's take the user ID, this one. Or actually, we should leave it empty to say this is not the idea of the current user. So let's say send. Oh, authorization. Okay, in the headers, we don't forget the authentication. So authorization, we use the bearer. The value for the bearer is inside right here. Copy the access token and use it to authorize our application. Hit send. Here we get there one, and the idea. Oops, the idea is null. We seem to have some problems, so let's continue. Not. Oh, maybe we do have an error with the ID. Actually, we forget the semicolon. Send, and here it is our idea. Continue. And now we get the response. The server now tells us that there is a conflict. So now the server knows this idea doesn't belong to this user, so he don't have the right access to change that that idea. Great. Now we can do the same thing to stop users from deleting idea that doesn't belong to them. And to do that, we'll go here to the delete idea web service, and after verifying the model, we'll go and verify if the user ID, go and verify if the user ID is not different, or is different from from the idea dot user ID, and the user ID right here is a local variable of type string, which will get us the user ID of the authenticated user or the current user by calling get user ID. If that's not the right user ID or not the right user, then we'll return good. Now the users cannot delete any idea that doesn't belong to them. So now we have created a secured web API where the users have access only to the items that were created by them, and they cannot access some other users' data. And that's thanks to using authentication and authorization through the OAuth 2 protocol with ASP.NET Web API. So I hope this video was helpful for you, and thank you.